This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
We have an amazing shir this evening. If we could get it started. We're going to speak about Parshas Bahaloischa. We want to thank the sponsors of Sefer Bamidbar. Sefer Bamidbar is dedicated by Dr. Zakheim, Lila Nishmas, Rav Shmuel Yezman, Rav Yaakov Zakheim, Lila Nishmas, Rivka Bas Tovia Levi, and Rav Dovin, Rav Yaakov Tzvi HaKoyin. Sefer Bamidbar is also dedicated by my dear friend Rabbi Isaac Yasolovsky, Lila Nishmas, his father, whose yahrzeit is Tesvav Sivan, Shabsi Ben Yitzchak Isaac, Neshama Shehaven Aliyah. Tonight's shir is dedicated by Gavriel Kusayev, Lila Nishmas, Hanan Ben Tamara, as a zuchus for Binyamin Khan, for Hatzlacha. Tonight's shir is also dedicated by Rabbi Yaakov Mizrahi, and by Mrs. Nancy K. for Refuah Shlema, for Nechama Bluma Bas Esther Vichna, and Binyamin Shlema Ben Pesa Rivka. They shall Refuah Shlema B'karev B'soich Shar Chaleyama Yisrael. Okay, we have a very interesting topic tonight. We're going to go to the very end of the Parsha, and we're going to go so to the end of the Parsha that you can't go any further. Parshas Bahaloischa. Little trivia question. Does anybody know how many psukim in Parshas Bahaloischa? How many psukim in Parshas Bahaloischa? What? 136. Very good. So you need to come back more often. 136 psukim in Parshas Bahaloischa. Actually, the siman at the end of the parsha is Mahalalel siman. Mahalalel is the siman. That's interesting. Who's Mahalalel and what does he have to do with Parshas Bahaloischa? But I discovered that in some of the old manuscripts of the Chumashim, instead of giving a name from Tanakh, they pick a word that's in the parsha as a siman for the parsha. And I discovered that there's a very interesting possible siman for Parshas Bahaloischa and the 136 psukim in Parshas Bahaloischa. You know, when Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai, interestingly, he had to wear a mask. Now, why did he have to wear a mask? That's the only time you should ever have to wear a mask, if you come down from Har Sinai. Otherwise, let people breathe, right? But Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai, he had to wear a mask, and the reason he had to wear a mask is because his face was radiating karnei hod, rays of light. And the Medrash asks, the Medrash Rabbah, the Medrash Tanchuma, where did these rays of light come from? And the Medrash says something very interesting. When he was writing the Sefer Torah, his inkwell, he had X amount of ink. And as he's writing the Torah, he realized that when he finished, he had a little bit of ink left. And he put the ink on his head, the ink went on his head, and it shone rays of light. Interesting. Now, if you had to write a document, would you be able to calculate precisely how much ink was needed? And Moshe Rabbeinu did a pretty good job because, you know, the Torah has 300,000 letters and change. To be able to evaluate exactly how much ink is needed, that's almost supernatural. That's miraculous. And Moshe Rabbeinu was able to calculate. Well, I guess the question is, If he got it so precisely, how much ink, then why was there a little bit of ink left? You know, if he did such a good job, I mean, if you ask most people, you know, how much ink are you going to need for this document, I would say most people will be off by, you know, gallons, if not ounces. And Moshe Rabbeinu got it down precisely. So if he got it down precisely, where did these droplets of ink, where did they come from? Why was there leftover at all? Why was there leftover ink? And why would ink make his face shine? You know, I mean, I've got an ink on stuff. I'm always, you know, notoriously carrying around pens in my pocket. And they don't make anything shine. You know, they get things dirty. Now, if you need a technique to get ink out, there's no extra charge for this, but I do have experience in this. Simple rubbing alcohol, okay? Simple rubbing out. You get ink on, let's say, this pen, you get on a white shirt, simple rubbing alcohol, you put it in, little hot water, comes out pretty well, okay? Just so it's worthwhile for you to come tonight, even though we started late. This, now, never keep pens in your pocket, but usually ink does not make anything shine. What does the Medrash mean that Moshe Rabbeinu's face shone because he had ink left over in his pen? Let's go to the end of the parasha. If you take a look on your sheets in the psukim at the end of Parshas Behaloscha, the pasuk says, "Vatedaber Miriam v'Aaron b'Moshe." Miriam and Aaron spoke about Moshe al oidois ha'isha kushas ashalakach regarding the Cushite woman that he took, Ki'isha Chushis Lakach, because he took a Cushite woman. Okay, so Rashi explains, what exactly does this pasuk mean? Moshe never married a Cushi. That never happened. Moshe Rabbeinu married Tzipora. She was a Midianite. So Rashi says, what it means is, just like everyone would admit that a Cushite, a person of color, everyone would acknowledge they have color, right? It would never be a matter of dispute. If you look at an individual of color, you know, you could have a difference of opinion as to whether someone is good looking or not good looking, but you can't have a difference of opinion whether someone has color or not. So just like a Cushite, if somebody is colored, everybody would agree, they're kulei alma loy pligi, that they have color. So to this woman, everyone agreed that this woman was a beautiful woman. And what exactly did Miriam and Aaron say? So listen carefully. They spoke Lashon Hara about Moshe. What was the Lashon Hara? They said, why did Moshe separate from his wife? We know Moshe Rabbeinu separated from Tzipora. The reason he separated is because he had to speak to God. And if somebody is tamei from having relations, they're not in a state to be able to speak to God. So Miriam and Aaron say, who does Moshe think he is? Wait, he thinks he's greater than Yeshaya, than Abraham, than Yitzchak, than Yaakov? They're also Nevi'im, but they stayed with their spouse. So who does Moshe Rabbeinu think he is? The next pasuk says, "Vayomru harak ach b'Moshe diber Hashem." Did the Almighty only speak to Moshe? Haloi gam banu diber. He spoke to us as well. So who does Moshe think he is? What, he thinks that he's greater than Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? By the way, so what's Lashon Hara about that? Imagine if you say about a great person, oh, they're not this great, they're only this great. That's not bad. I mean, is it really so disparaging to say, hey, Moshe, he's only as great as Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? The answer is it's Lashon Hara, because Moshe Rabbeinu was greater than Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And he had to be on call 24 hours a day. See, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, for them, was a day job. So they didn't have to be on call all the time. For Moshe Rabbeinu, it was 24-7. He had to be available at all times. And therefore, he had to be Poyrish Mina Isha. So here's my question on this. V'ha'ish Moshe Anav Ma'ayid. And the man Moshe was very humble. Mikol Ha'adam, from every man, Asher Apnei Ha'adama, who is on the face of the earth. Okay, good to know. Happy I know that now. The only thing is, that's the most random fact you could possibly imagine. How is that relevant to this conversation? Moshe and Miriam and Aaron speak Lashon Hara about Moshe. They say, who does he think he is? Does he think he's greater than Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? So what's the Torah saying, that Moshe is very more humble than anyone? Great, he's humble. That's a random, non sequitur. It's an irrelevant piece of information. Is that important to know? Is that connected? Is that relevant to the subject at hand?
Isn't that because he didn't respond to them or didn't say anything?
Well, did Moshe hear them speak about him? What exactly is the connection between they disparage Moshe and Moshe being humble? So the Chafetz Chaim quotes the Rambam. The Rambam says, look at the severity of Lashon Hara, that even though whatever they said, Moshe Rabbeinu did not take to heart, and it didn't bother him, and he was moichel them, and the proof is he was the most humble man who ever lived, nevertheless, they were punished. So in other words, the reason the Torah is saying that Moshe Rabbeinu was the most humble man is to let us know that Moshe was not bothered by what they said. Okay, that's the connection. That's how the Rambam learns. It's cited by the Chafetz Chaim. In other words, they disparaged Moshe, but what was Moshe's reaction? His reaction was he didn't take it to heart. Okay, fine. I would like to suggest another interpretation of this pasuk, that this pasuk is actually addressing the accusation of Aaron and Miriam. They said, who does Moshe Rabbeinu think he is? And in this pasuk, Va'ish Moshe, Anav Ma'oid, the Torah is addressing their accusation. Now, I want you to look carefully at the word anav. Do you see the word anav? It's not spelled correctly. Anybody know how you spell the word anav? Ayin, nun, yud, vav. What happened to the yud? Where'd the yud go? The Rush, it's not on your sheet, writes that Moshe took it out. Moshe took out the yud. Why? He wasn't exactly comfortable writing he was an anav. So he made it like he didn't spell it right. He sort of downplayed his humility. He downplayed his humility. What? Oh! So that means it comes out there are two times that Moshe Rabbeinu saved the little ink in his pen. One is he took out the yud of the word anav, and one is instead of making a big aleph in Vayikra, he made a small aleph. Okay? Put that in your back pocket. Now it's interesting. I happen to see today in the Ramah Mipano that in some Sefrei Torah, although I haven't seen them, not only is the word anav spelled without a yud, it's spelled with a vav zeiro, with a small vav. Instead of saying v'ish Moshe anav ma'id, he wrote v'ish Moshe ani ma'id. He was like the most nebuch man who ever lived. That's what he wrote about himself. He was the poorest man, the most underwhelming person who ever lived. Very interesting. Says Ramah Mipano, did Moshe do that on his own? Yeah, he did it on his own. He did another thing on his own. V'yeshoimrim shegam alef shel vayikra. Asa Moshe zira midaitoi. Lama'id kvoidoi. He didn't want to write, God called me on the phone. By the way, you know who called me today? You know who called me today? Yeah, you called the White House 500 times and they didn't answer. And you say, oh, you know, Biden called me today. No, he didn't call you. You called him and he didn't answer. Right? So, but Moshe didn't want to write, God called him. You write, Vayikar, God appeared. The same lashon of Bilam. So it's very interesting that even if Moshe would have calculated based on what God told him, in other words, God may have told him, take X amount of ink. If he acted on his own, there might be a little bit of ink left in his inkwell because he saved it on V'ho'ish Moshe Anav Ma'od and on the small aleph of Vayikra. Now, for this year, of course it was wrong. Exactly, that's the next pasuk. The next pasuk says, what are you talking about? Hashem says, Shimun advarim, ye nevi'achem Hashem v'amarei lo v'svada v'chalam adaber bai. I don't speak to him in dreams. V'lechein avdi Moshe, v'chal beisi nemanu, pe'al adaber bai. V'amarei v'loi b'chidoi, susvenas Hashem yabit. But how is it addressed that Moshe was the most humble man who ever lived? If you want to say Moshe was the greatest Navi who ever lived, then it would be addressing their accusation. In other words, they said he's equal to Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, to which the Torah should be saying, I would have wrote, V'ish Moshe, Navi, Mikol HaNaviyim, Asher al Pnei Adam. What's the humility got to do with anything? Okay, so I want you to take the following perspective. Make believe you're a scientist in a laboratory. I'm going to present to you the information. We're going to put it all together. And at first, we're just going to observe the information, and then we'll see if we could decipher how to read the information. The Gemara Megillah says that on the Pasuk in Tehillim, why did the other mountains contest the selection of Sinai? We know that when Rabbi Shem wanted to give the Torah in Har Sinai, the other mountains also claimed that Hashem should give the Torah on them. And God says, the Gemara says, you're all inferior. You're all considered handicapped. You're all bali mumen compared to Sinai. It says oy gibein oy dak by the parsha mumen, and it says by Sinai. It says by the mountains, lama teratzdon harum gavnunim. God says, you mountains, you're imperfect compared to Sinai. It's like you have an imperfection compared to Sinai. Says the Gemara, anyone who is arrogant has a mum. Has an imperfection. Arrogance is a mum. It's not just ugly. It's not just distasteful. It's an imperfection. Okay, I'm going to share with you now. Let's take a little poll, okay? What do you think are the most famous, well-known words in all of the Mishnayos. I think when Rav Chanan ben Akasha, Merotza HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lezakus Es Yisrael. Is that even? All right. How about Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai? That's a good selection. Yeah, that's got to be in the top five. The problem is, let's think about those words. Moshe Kibel Torah. What is the next word? Misinai. From Sinai. So Sinai grew arms and gave Moshe the Torah, right? Moshe Kibel Torah from Sinai. There's this thing called Sinai. Sinai took a Torah and gave it to Moshe. It should say Moshe Kibel Torah al Ba. How about Ba? Not Me Sinai, Mi Sinai. Yeah, it should say Moshe Kibel Torah Me HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Or Bis Sinai, but not Mi Sinai. So Toisvus Chadoshim, which is a commentary on the Pirkei Avos, on the Mishnah, it says sometimes letter Mem could mean because of. Like Mechatos Nevi'eha, because of the sin of her prophets. In other words, Moshe received the Torah because of Har Sinai. We all know Moshe Rabbeinu learned a lesson from Har Sinai. What's the lesson? That Har Sinai was the most humble, the lowest of all the mountains, the most unassuming of all the mountains. And Moshe Rabbeinu also learned that midah, the midah of humility, from Har Sinai. That's why he was mekabel the Torah. Actually, Reb Chaim Volozhiner says, why did God give the Torah to Moshe? Why didn't he give it to Abraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Adam Arishayin, Noach? Why did Hashem give the Torah to Moshe? The answer is, the Gemara in Tainus says Torah is compared to water. You look at number 32. Okay, that's, you want to, how are we going to get through everything? The Torah is compared to water. Just like water goes down to the lowest point, so too the Torah goes down to the lowest point. So Chaim Volozhiner says, the Torah went down, 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 until we got to the Un of Mikol Adam. Because Moshe Rabbeinu was even more humble than Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. By the way, the Sefer HaRoikeach says an amazing hint to the words Anav Ma'oid Mikoel. The gematria of Moshe, Anav Ma'oid Mikoel, is the same numerical value as Ume Avos Ha'olam, even more than the forefathers. Okay, you got that? Moshe, Anav Ma'oid Mikoel, Ume Avos Ha'olam, even more than our forefathers. And like, why is that necessary? Here Aaron and Miriam criticize Moshe, and the Torah said, no, Moshe is more humble than anyone. Okay, good. What does that have to do with anything? Even more than the Avos. Yeah, okay. That's also random. But now we're learning there's a certain phenomenon. The Torah is on the move, and it travels. And who does it go to? The Torah goes to the most humble. That's why Moshe was zoche to be mekabel the Torah. That's why the Torah was not given until the year 2448. By the way, the Chida writes, the year 2448 is Gematria Chibasam, his love for them. Amazing. Chibasam, his love for them. So that's Moshe Rabbeinu. By the way, there are only two people in our history who are called Rabbeinu. Moshe and Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Who's that? Rabbi Yehuda. Interesting. What does the Gemara in Soita say about Rabbi? Look at number 8. Mishames Rabbi. When Rabbi died, Batel Anava. Humility ceased. The Gemara in Horia says, even Rabbi, who was an Anvasana, also, even he shunned Rabbi Meir. But Rabbi is the paragon of humility. The Gemara even says that normally, in Dine Nefashos, you end off with the Gadol, but in Rebbe's court, they didn't follow that procedure because of his humility. Rebbe is the paragon of those who are humble. Isn't it interesting? The two people in our history who are called Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabbeinu, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, were also the paragon of humility.
Why was it only Miriam that was punished? Why was it paragon?
I only answer the questions that I ask in the shiur. Okay, so let's Let's move on all that, okay? Rabbi Yosef Engel was one of the all-time great Gaonim, Bekiyim. He lived from 1859 to 1920. He was the Avbezin of Krakow. We spoke about him many times. He was a Goin Adir, Charif, Baki, in all aspects of Torah. Shas, Kabbalah, Chasidus. In his Sefer Beis HaOitzar, he makes a remarkable observation. I remember when I saw this, I was like jumping for joy because I sort of noticed it, but I never put my finger on it. If you ever learn Mishnayos, all the Tanaim, when they express their opinion, they say, Rabbi Kiva Oimer, Beis Shammai Oimer, Ram Gamliel Oimer, Divrei. There's only one Tana who, when he talks, he often says, Rabbi Oimer, Oimer Ani. You ever see that? Rabbi Oimer, Oimer Ani. Rabbi Yosef Engel says, I noticed it 19 times in Shas. You want to know where, huh? Says Rabbi Yosef Engel, in Kedushin, Daf Tes Amud Beis. Rabbi Oimer, Oimer Ani, Harishon Beskila. Gittin, Lamed Ches. Rabbi Oimer, Oimer Ani. Also in Gittin, Lamed Tes. Also there, Nun Beis. Erechin Yud Zayin, Erechin Chavdal, Tainis Beis, Tainis Yud Zayin, Sanhedrin Chav Beis. Many places. Says Rabbi Yosef Engel, you know, I went through the Shas. Nobody else says Oimer Ani. Only Rabbi. Isn't that interesting? You ever wonder about that? What does it even mean? Rabbi Oimer, Oimer Ani. Oh, really? I thought, I saw your lips were moving, but I didn't. But really, it's somebody else? Does anybody who talks need to say, I say? If you're talking, obviously you're talking. If someone else is talking, I don't know, something weird is going on, right? So what does Rabbi mean? Rabbi Oimer, Oimer Ani. Even in the Yushalmi and in the Tosefta, there's not one Tana that ever says Oimer Ani, except for in one Tosefta, Reb Shimon Oimer, Oimer Ani, or Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, or Rabbi Yossi Haglili, but they're very rare instances. But it's like Rebbe's hallmark expression, Rabbi Oimer, Oimer Ani. You probably haven't slept in years because of that question. What does that mean? What's Rabbi saying, Oimer Ani? Says Rabbi Yosef Engel, at first I would say that this expression of Rabbi, Oimer Ani, is the predecessor. You ever learn a Pnei Yeshua? Pnei Yeshua has a big kasha, and he says, V'nira lefi ani azdaiti, in my humble opinion, it's an expression of humility. And because Rabbi is the paragon of humility, he excelled in humility, he didn't want to say, this is my opinion, take it. He's saying, this is what I say. You don't have to agree. I'm just offering my humble opinion. In other words, it's like the predecessor of Nira Lefi Anias Daiti. That's the expression of Oimer Ani. But then Rabbi Yosef Engel says, there's a deeper pshat. Do you remember in Masechta Sukkah, Amem Hei Amid Aleph, where the Gemara says that when we encircled the Mizbeach, we would say the following tefillah. Ani Vahoy Hoshiana. I and Hoy, please help. Who's I? Who's Hoy? Where is this Hoy? Who is this? What does it mean? So we've learned many times. These are different names of Hashem. There are three consecutive psukim in B'Shalach that have 72 letters. Using a formula called Yoshar Hafach Yoshar, straight, backward, straight. You take the first letter of the first pasuk, the last letter of the second pasuk, first letter of the last pasuk. It spells out one name of Hashem. Actually, name number one is Vahoy. Vav is the first letter of the first pasuk. Hey is the last letter of the second pasuk. Vav is the first letter of the third pasuk. That's the first name of God. Ani is the 37th name of God. So if there's 72 different names, the first column begins with name one. The second column begins with name 37. Name one is Vahoy. That's the first name. Ani is name 37. Fine. So Ani is the name of God. That's why Hillel, who remembers, when Hillel would go to Simchas Beis HaShoeva, what would he say? Im Ani Kan, Hakol Kan. If I'm here, everyone's there. Oh, really? Good to know. Wow. How humble you are. But the answer was he wasn't referring to himself. He's saying if God is here, then we have everything we need. Perhaps that's the meaning of Im Ein Ani li mili. If Ani, if God is not with me, what am I? So Rabbi Yosef Engel suggests that great tzaddikim understood that the words they say, God puts the words in their mouth. They can't even speak without Hashem's assistance. That's why we say, Hashem sefasai tiftach ufi, God opened my mouth. So when Rebbe would talk, he had such a recognition that it's not his own kayach, it's the Almighty assisting his words. He would say, Oimer ani, Hashem is talking. It's Hashem's help. That's why I'm talking. Says Rabbi Yosef Engel. So what's Rebbe's hallmark, you know, slogan? Oimer ani. Interesting, says Rabbi Yosef Engel. He said, I did a search. And when he says he did a search, he didn't use a computer. It means in his mind. Does it say the words Oimer ani anywhere in Shas? I'm sorry, anywhere in Tanakh? And he said, yes, he found one place in Tanakh where it says Oimer ani in Perek Mem Hei in Tehillim. Look in number 19, Lam Natseach Al Shoishanim Livnei Kairach Maskil Shir Yedidais. Rachash Libi Davar Toiv. Ooh, I have a great idea. Look at number 19. Rachash Libi Davar Toiv. I have a great idea. Oimer ani. Ooh, Oimer ani. Who is that a remez to? Rebbe. By the way, the words Rachash Libi Davar Toiv. Soifei Tevois. Yud Reish Beis. Rebbe. You see that? Libi, davar, toiv, soifei tevois, Rebbe. How do we know Rebbe? Oimer ani! He's the Oimer ani man! Now, what was Rebbe's good idea? Rebbe had a good idea in his life. What was it? Do you remember all Shisha Siddur Mishnah by heart? Oh, no, you don't remember? Oh, having a bad day. How about you? Remember all Shisha Siddur Mishnah? You just happened to forget. Rebbe said it wasn't happening anymore. So what did Rebbe say? Ace, lasois, lashem, when there's a time to act for God, heferu tarasecha, break the Torah. Even though halachically you're not allowed to write down the oral law, Rebbe said to act for God, to preserve the Torah, we're allowed to write down the oral law. Says Rabbi Yosef Engel, Rebbe's entire life is alluded to in these psukim. Rachash libi davar toiv. I have a great idea. Who? Libi davar toiv, seifei tevis Rebbe. Oimer ani, the man who always said Oimer ani. You know what his great idea is? Masai lemelech, act for the king. Eis lasois Hashem. You know what I'm going to do? Lishoini, that which you say, that's bal peh, eight soifer maher. You got to write down. Whose idea? Oimer ani, Rebbe. By the way, lishoini, gematria, Yehuda Hanasi. That's Rabbi Yosef Engel. But one thing we're learning is that two of the greatest teachers of Torah in the history of the Jewish people were also the most humble. Who were they? Moshe. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. They're both given the title Rabbeinu. Where does God give the Torah? Har Sinai, the humblest of all the mountains. By the way, this is a phenomenon that we encounter throughout history. The Chidah brings a report. There's an amazing report. Look at number 21. The Chidah in Hashem HaGadolim writes that he has a tradition from a great man. Look at number 21, right-hand column. Shekibalti me'adam gadol b'chachma v'yira. Shekibel me'rav gadol shekibel mizakenim. V'oysoy hadar, a few lines later, hayunim sam, shloisha rabbanim ru'uyim lezeh. In the generation of Maran Bet Yosef, there were three gedolim who were worthy to write the Shulchan Aruch. We think, Rabbi Yosef Kara, he's the only man who could do the job. No, there were three tzaddikim. Number one, Rabbi Beis Yosef. Number two, Rabbi Yosef Taitchik. Number three, the Marival. All three of them could have written the book. It was given through Rabbi Yosef Kara. Why? Because he was smarter? No. Because he knew more Torah? No. Because he was a bigger lamdin? No. He knew halacha better? He was a bigger tzaddik? No, mipnei an v'sanusaya yisera, because he was the most humble. He was the most humble. There were three qualified guys for the job. Now, it's interesting, because if you're a boss and you needed to hire someone, let's say you have an accounting firm, and there are three guys fit for the job, you're gonna pick the guy who's the most humble? You can pick the guy who knows how to do accounting the best. Or the guy's going to come earlier, who can come on time. Or the guy who has to pay the least. You're not going to pick the guy who's the most humble. And yet, Rabbi Yosef Karoy was zoicha, not because of the greatness of his scholarship, which he was great, but because he was the most humble of all the three. Now you'll say, yeah, but like, who are these people that he beat out? Yeah, I never heard of them. So I'm going to give you just a little biographical information of the other two candidates. First of all, Rabbi Yosef Taichik, look at number 22. Rabbi Yosef Taichik was the Rebbe of Rabbi Shlomo Alkabitz, the Ma'asa Hashem, the Alshech. For 40 years, the Chidah says, he didn't sleep in a bed. He slept sitting up with his feet hanging, and he got up at Chatzos. Out of 24 hours, he was involved in learning 18 hours a day, and only 6 of the hours he used for eating, sleeping, and everything else in his life. And he had a Magid who taught him Torah. An angel came and taught him Torah. And yet the Beis Yosef beat him out, because the Beis Yosef was more humble. And who's the other individual? The Marivayel. Someone once started up with the Marivayel. The next day an earthquake came, killed him and 200 people. You don't want to start up with the Marivayel, but the Beis Yosef beat him out also, because of Beis Yosef's great humility. And this is a very important trait that we see not only in Moshe Rabbeinu, not only in Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, not only in the Beis Yosef, but the Gedolim throughout history, whether it's the Prima Gadim. The Stipler once said the reason we pass him like the Prima Gadim is because of his unusual humility. Prima Gadim says, don't rely on what I say, halach lamaisa. And he wouldn't even write things definitively. The Prima Gadim says, you know, tsarach yon. And we always paskin like him because of his great humility, the Chafetz Chaim, and so forth. We don't have time tonight to go through all the Gedolei Yisrael in history showing how this is a dominant trait in their personality. But I just want to ask you one very simple question. Is this a coincidence? Is it a coincidental that great Rabbanim, they happen to know a lot of Torah. And guess what? Did you hear this coincidence? They also happen to be very humble. And if they wouldn't be very humble, okay, they would still be Tamei Chachamim, but they're just not that humble. Or are they connected? Somehow, is it the fact that they're humble, that's why they're such great Tamei Chachamim? Because at first glance, okay, we know the Gemara says the Torah always goes down to the lowest source. Okay, but how do we understand that? So please take a look at number 31. 31 is the Ruach Chaim of Reb Chaim Volozhiner. And he says something out of this world. If you look in the second paragraph, he says, V'ha'inyin ki al yidei ha'anava zoiche ha'adam ha'koel. Through humility, a person merits everything. U'kemoi Moshe Rabbeinu olam Hashem, just like Moshe. Shahaya Adoin Hanavim, he was the greatest of all the prophets, the Av HaChachamim, the father of all the sages. Nevertheless, when we praise him, we don't say Moshe was the greatest Lamdin, the greatest Masmid, the greatest Yerushalayim, the greatest teacher. We say one thing, he was the most humble man who ever lived. Loi Nishtabech Elo Ba'anova. Bichol Mashe Zocha Hu Bavur Anvasai. Everything Moshe merited was because of his humility. Now, if I were to ask you a question, and I am, okay? I'm asking you a question. Can anyone today be as great as Moshe?
Okay. Yes.
It's unclear, you know, right? Yes. It says that nobody could ever be a prophet like Moshe, but yet the Rambam also writes that everyone could be a tzaddik like Moshe. So why aren't people tzaddik like Moshe? Is it because they're not as smart as him? They're not as diligent as him. They're not as God-fearing as him. Says Reb Chaim, if anyone today would be as humble as Moshe, he would also acquire all the Torah B'Shlemus. Moshe didn't happen to be humble. The reason why he was the greatest man who ever lived is because of his humility. That was the seminal factor. Says Reb Chaim Volozhiner. No way. That's a good one. Reb Chaim Volozhiner Yosef tonight? Right? Chalk this one up, right? We always have something like that, you know? Yudalad? Tonight's Yudalad? Tonight's Yudalad Sivan. That's very interesting, you know, that at the Levaya of Reb Chaim Volozhiner, if I'm not mistaken, the Nachlas David said, what?
1821.
203 years ago. At the Levaya of Reb Chaim Volozhiner, they said, you know, he was born, they asked, he was such a great tzaddik, so why didn't he pass away on the day he was born? Like Moshe Rabbeinu, like David HaMelech. They said, well, the Nachas David said, because a tzaddik always passes away on the day they were born. But when is a person born? When they get their neshama. When do you get your neshama? On the day of your bris. Reb Chaim Volozhiner was born on Zayin Sivan. His neshama then came on Yodalad. So he did pass away on the day he was born. So they asked, so why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu and David pass away 8 days later? Because they were born mahal. They were born circumcised already. So therefore, they actually passed away on the day they were born. Anyway, Reb Chaim Volozhiner says like this. God is our loving Father. There's nothing more he wants to do than to pour down Torah into us. The thing is, he is pouring Torah into us. But we have to be a receptacle. The problem is that we, as a receptacle, the walls of our vessel are so thick. What are they thick with? They're thick with our own ego. Therefore, the area of receptivity is very small. So not so much Torah fits in. The more humble one is, the bigger the kli becomes, the more Torah contains. Moshe Rabbeinu, because he was anav mikol adam, therefore he was the greatest man who ever lived. So I was wondering, you know, let's explain the humility of Moshe greater than Avraham and David and others. Because I'll say that Moshe was more humble than Avraham and David. Because Moshe said, "V'nachnu ma, what am I? I'm nothing." Avraham said, "V'anoichi afar va'efer, I'm ashes, but ashes is something." David said, "V'anoichi toilas, I'm a worm. A worm is not the biggest hotshot, but it exists." So, but Moshe Rabbeinu said, "V'nachnu ma, I'm nothing." That's why the Shlosh says he was anav mikol ha'adam. Adam stands for more than Avraham, more than David. He was Moshe, Mikala Adam. Very quickly, so I was wondering, you know, if Moshe was chosen because he was more humble than Avraham and David. Avraham and David were entities. Moshe Rabbeinu says, "I'm absolutely nothing." Then why was Har Sinai chosen? Har Sinai is something. You know, it's a small mountain, but it's something. But I have a question for you. There's a different mountain that bothers me even more. Har HaMoriah. The Gemara says that Yerushalayim in the Makom HaMikdash is the highest spot in the world. So if it's the highest spot in the world, why is God into that spot? I understand why Hashem is into Har Sinai. Why is he into Har HaMoriah? You know, using this model that we've set forth, that the Ribbono Shel, his method, his procedure is he always seeks the meek and the humble. Why is Hashem resting on Har HaMoriah? You know, it's very interesting. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah says that Rabbi Kiva says we have a tradition that on every mountain in Eretz Yisrael, it was a makam of Avodah Zarah. So Tosfos asks, really, if it's every mountain is a makom of Ezra, how could they build the Beis HaMikdash in Har Moriah? So Tosfos says, the Navi said. Why did the Navi say? Why did the Navi say? Chassam Sofer brings in many places. Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshitz writes this. The Rebbe of Heschel writes this. That, you know, when Avram Avinu came to the Har HaMoriah, what did he say? Does it say, Vayaris Hahar Merachaik? Doesn't say he saw the mountain from far. What does it say? Vayaris HaMakayim. He saw the place. What does that mean, place? Place means it doesn't exist. In fact, the Medrash says that Avram says to God, Vayaris HaMakayim Merachaik. Avram says, God, this is where you hang out? In a Makayim? There's nothing here. It's a Makayim. You need a Makayim. You need a mountain. So by Bahar Hashem Yeraya, God scolded the area and it became a mountain. But originally, it was nothing. It didn't exist. So we could say, God selected Har HaMoriah because it was even more humble than Har Sinai. Har Sinai was a small mountain. Har HaMoriah was a non-entity to begin with. So you say, why did God give the Torah in Har Sinai? He should have given it on Har HaMoriah. Do you know what the answer is? He did give it on Har HaMoriah. You know the pasuk? The pasuk says, "Vayisyatzvu betachtis ha'har v'har Sinai ashan kulay." You know, in English, first you say the noun, and then you say the pronoun. David came to the shir. He helped me set up. You don't say, he came to the shir, David helped me set up. First you have to identify. Once you identify, then you can use a pronoun. Why would we say they stood in the bottom of the mountain and Har Sinai was all smoked? It should say they stood in the bottom of Har Sinai and the mountain smoke, says the Baal HaTurim inexplicably. The mountain was uprooted and it became a mountain on top of a mountain. Which mountain was uprooted? And what does it mean it became a mountain on top of a mountain? You know, the Yaakov Ruveni says we have a tradition. God uprooted Har HaMoriah and it came to the Midbar so that the Torah could be given on it. The Kaf Aleim Har Kegigis, I don't know if we can identify which one it was, but it sounds like one mountain over another. And it wasn't just Har Sinai, it was Har HaMoriah. Why? Maybe because it was even more, humble than Har Sinai.
Wait, so the Kaf Aleim Har Kegigis wasn't holding the mountain older than Israel?
Well, it was, but which one? Which mountain was over the head? Was it Har Sinai that was uprooted and over their heads? Or was it they were on the bottom of Har Sinai, but Har HaMoriah was suspended over their heads? That's beyond the scope of this. You ever remember when the Torah writes that the shofar of Matan Torah came from where? The Isle of Yitzchak. Say, huh? How did the shofar of the Akedah of Har HaMoriah get to be blown on Har Sinai? Now you know how the shofar of Eloi Shel Yitzchak got to Har Sinai. Maybe that's why God selected Har HaMoriah. Har Sinai was like the humility of Avraham and David, Afar Va'efer, Vanochi Toilas, like David HaMelech. But Har HaMoriah was Venach Numa. It wasn't even a mountain. It was a place. The bottom line is, where did Moshe get his greatness from? Is it that Moshe was great and he happened to be humble? No, says Reb Chaim Volozhiner. Because he was more humble than Avraham and David, that's why he was greater than them. Let's go back and read the psukim. They read like a glove. Vatidaber Miriam v'Aaron v'Moshe. Miriam and Aaron criticized Moshe that he separated from his wife. They said, who does Moshe think he is? God speaks to us also. God comes and addresses why they made a mistake. They thought Moshe was equal to them and Avram and David. Hashem says, no, you're making a mistake. Moshe's much greater. But it doesn't say he was much greater. It says he was more humble. No. It's saying he was much greater. But it's explaining why he was much greater. How he became so. The Torah says, you know what the mistake of Miriam and Aaron was? They thought Moshe was just like your garden variety prophet. your regular standard prophet. No, Va'ish Moshe Anav Ma'oid. And as Reb Chaim Volozhiner says, Al Yidei Ha'anava Adam Zoicha Lakoil. So if you wanted to know, why did Moshe Rabbeinu's face shine? Avram's face wasn't shining. Yeshaya's face wasn't shining. Where did the greatness of Moshe come from? The answer is he left a little ink in the pen. Why did he leave ink in the pen? It came two little droplets of ink. He couldn't write the word Anav. He left a little yud inside. He couldn't write the word Vayikra. Those two droplets of ink came the glory of Moshe Rabbeinu, the greatness of Moshe, the greatest man who ever lived. It's because he was exceedingly humble. We could say, V'ha'ish Moshe Anav Ma'oid Mikael. What does the Rekeach say? Rekeach says, Moshe Anav Ma'oid Mikael is Gematria Umei Avos Ha'olam. He was more humble even than the Avos. Okay, why is that important here? Who cares? The answer is it's addressing the accusation of Miriam and Aaron. They said, who does he think he is? Why does he think he's greater? And the Torah is addressing that. The reason why he's greater and he has to separate from his wife and why he has to be on call 24/7 is because Ha'ish Moshe Anav Ma'oid Mikala Adam. And Al Yidei Anava, he was Zoicha Lakal. You ready for the punchline? We have a minion here. We have a minion here. We'll try to have a minion here. We'll hold some hostages over here. Yeah? We'll have a minion. Okay. So, ready? You don't want to miss this. You can't miss it. Yeah? Okay. So Moshe Rabbeinu can't write the Yud, right? He can't write the Yud because he doesn't want to write that he's such an Anav. The guy said, don't write the Yud. You know what the numerical value of Sukkim in this week's Parsha is? 136. Gematria Anav with the Yud. You try to hide the Yud? I'm going to give you the whole Parsha. This whole Parsha will declare for all of Klal Yisrael that you are Anav Ma'oid Mikala Adam. That's Gematria Anav with the Yud. You could hide it. You could run, but you can't hide. You try to hide the Yud, but the Parsha, and I did find in one of the original texts of the Masoira of Parshas Bahaloscha, it says, Anav Male Simen. The Simen is Anav Male is the Simen for the Psukim of Parshas Bahaloscha. Voice, have a wonderful night.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.